You know, there's so many important ingredients that make pro wrestling successful. You could go from suspension of disbelief, letting your imagination run wild for a few hours, forgetting that it's entertainment. Don't let anybody get in your head that after the event, the guys that are beating the crap out of each other are going out for beers and this and that. And you let your imagination run wild. Also, the people in the ring have to put on a performance. It is a soap opera. I know we can't really say it's a male soap opera as much as we used to, but they're telling a story in the ring. But one of the most important aspects that I have stressed, being a wrestling fan going back to 1979, is its unpredictability. Some of the greatest matches that we have watched over the years, and we look back on, we truly weren't sure who was going to be the victor in a match. And if you write down on a piece of paper 10 of your favorite matches of all time, in so many cases, you go back and you try to relive those moments. We didn't know if Hogan was going to beat Andre. We didn't know if Austin was going to beat Bret Hart. We didn't know. You could go down the line. But I got to be honest with you. Tonight's Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, I know the haters get triggered whenever I brag about predicting things correctly and analyzing things the way I do. I've been doing this shit for 20 years now. You know, my co-host Kev Castle's been doing it for about 13. You know, Mish and Joey Numbers have been doing it, I think, a little bit longer than that. But for me, myself, I go back to 1998 doing this stuff. And people that have stuck with me from the beginning know that I have this innate, you know, just something about me that could just predict things and analyze things. And yeah, I do rub it in people's faces sometimes because, number one, there's a lot of competition out there. And I remind people where you hear certain things and where you don't hear certain things. But also, I take pride in the fact that not only do I get a lot of things right, but so many of our listeners as well. I have said so many times over the years, and it's not to pander to anybody listening, but all of you, whether it's through Patreon, whether it's regular downloads, whether it's through YouTube, whether it's TV Trax's channel, you listening are the most intelligent listeners amongst any other show out there. Because there's podcasts out there that just do recaps. This is your... Then there's people out there that play these characters and play these roles. And, you know, there's people out... Yeah, we talk about John Cena and Roman Reigns. No, we take it a step further. Yeah, I nitpick at times. But since I'm a wrestling fan since 79 and the state of pro wrestling as it is, the fact that it is so much of the business revealed publicly and with social media and this, you have to turn it up a notch. And getting back to the predictability of pro wrestling, anybody that listened to this past Monday's edition of the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show, anybody that's on Patreon that looks at my entry from the predictions contest from Friday, every single match I predicted correctly. Every single bonus point on the contest, with the exception of one, predicted correctly. From Mandy Rose being the first person eliminated to Braun and Roman Reigns being the last two in the ring to Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks. Everything. Even the way the Ronda Rousey contract signing was going to go down. Does that make me a fucking genius? No, it doesn't. And I want the haters that are triggered right now to hear me clearly. I am not bragging that I got everything right. I just feel that this is a classic case that WWE was way too predictable. Tonight, a lot of fans, and you could hear the end, especially the end of the main event of the men in the Elimination Chamber, they are not enjoying Roman Reigns going to fucking WrestleMania in the main event for fourth time in a row, facing Brock Lesnar once again. And WWE was smart. Right after the match ended, they had Braun Strowman beat the fuck out of Roman Reigns. They played his music to just get our mind off of the fact a little bit that fucking Roman Reigns is getting shot to the moon. You remember when they reunited the Shield And I came on the shows and I told everyone it's smoke and mirrors. All it's doing is to keep Roman Reigns on the back burner, because if he comes out with Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose or a combination thereof, some people will cheer a little more because it's the Shield reuniting, but it was just a merchandise grab. It was a way to try to get Roman Reigns a little bit more over than what he was before. And it's not the case. I did episode 8 of This Week in Wrestling History earlier today, and I posted it on Patreon. And one of the moments that took place a couple of years ago was Roman Reigns getting the shit knocked out of him by Triple H at ringside to set up their match at Mania. And then we saw Byron Saxton hand Roman Reigns the blood capsule. I mean, there's been so many things about Roman Reigns over the past bunch of years, not all to the fault of him, that's been turning people off left and right. And a lot of people tonight all felt, you know what? Braun Strowman's on so much fucking momentum. Let's pull the trigger. Let's Braun Strowman get the win at Elimination Chamber. Nobody will expect it. Let him take on Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And they still went with Roman Reigns. The entire pay-per-view outcome tonight was too predictable, in my opinion. Every single match from top to bottom. And yes, I'm talking for 6 minutes now, maybe to try to extend this recap a little bit. But when you look at this pay-per-view and it being as predictable as it was, and let's also be honest, the men's Elimination Chamber match tonight was the most watered-down Elimination Chamber match in its history. Nobody wants to see anybody get injured, but this chamber is not really utilized. Okay, you climb to the top of the chamber, all right? You're 10 feet in the fucking air. You're not at the top of a Hell in a Cell. You do two frog splashes, one by Seth Rollins, one by Sasha Banks. Big fucking deal. Two of the greatest spots that I enjoyed tonight on the pay-per-view. One was a visual that really did not have that much, no pun intended, impact. And then one had nothing to do with the Elimination Chamber matches. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give tonight's pay-per-view a 6 because it was fun. I mean, the matches were not shit. And I want to stress that. They were not terrible. It was an okay pay-per-view. But the outcomes were way too predictable. And Roman Reigns going into a WrestleMania main event once again for a title, you realize that WWE never derailed from how they were going to treat Roman Reigns. And this is 3-4 years in a row that the fans, for the most part, are not having it with Roman Reigns. You can't keep using him and insisting on going a certain route like you did with Cena 10 years ago, because it's not the same period. You know, WWE made $800 million last year. Only 30-something was profit. And I'm not saying that Roman Reigns is a profit machine and this and that, but man, to just try to mix it up a little bit, I don't know. I just did not like the outcome of the match tonight. But let's get right into it. Pre-show was hosted by Booker T, Peter Rosenberg, David Otunga, and Renee Young. They did a couple of interviews before the event took place. Interview with Kurt Angle, interview with Paige. When they discussed Paige, they brought up her not being able to perform right now. They did not discuss what was injured, the extent of her injury, if she's coming back, how long she's going to be out. All the focus was on Absolution being in this event. And they did bring up the topic of Ronda Rousey. And Paige made a remark saying that in UFC, you may only fight 2 times a year, but in WWE, multiply that by 100. And WWE has to be very, very careful with the way they go forward with Ronda Rousey. I'll get into the contract signing a little bit later. But, you know, for the people that are wondering, hey, Ronda Rousey, you know, people that don't follow UFC, did she really only fight that number of fights? Well, I did some research, and I may be wrong on this, but I don't believe that I am. But Ronda Rousey's UFC career, this is the number of matches that she had per year. 2016, 1. 2015, 3. 2014, 2. 2013, 2012, 2 apiece. 2011, 4. So when Paige made that comment and people were online, you know, questioning it, yeah, she actually was not wrong. Had a cool backstage interview with Mickey James, interrupted an interview segment with Sasha Banks and Bayley. And Mickey made a comment like, when the pods open, friendships will be over quicker than a hiccup. Quicker than a hiccup. So, pre-show match, Miz Taraj losing to Gallows and Anderson. You know, both teams got good pops from the crowd. Las Vegas was pretty lively tonight. You know, there was the beach ball incident that a lot of these events seem to have in recent months. And, you know, it's happened in years past, but kind of felt a little bad for Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy because people were more into the beach ball than the match itself from time to time. But getting back to Gallows and Anderson versus Mr. Rogers, typical pre-show match. After the match, they were still in the ring, Gallows and Anderson, and Mike Rome interviews the Revival backstage. And I don't know if they were just caught off guard or if it was just a brain fart, but man, did that promo suck. Basically, they were trying to say that the tag teams in the ring were making tag team wrestling a mockery. It was just not a good promo at all. Paul Heyman was there. Brock Lesnar was not. Paul Heyman did an interview talking about how tomorrow night are Raw and blah, 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 blah. And that's what we got look forward to again. Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. You know, it is what it is. So we open up the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view with the women's elimination match. How the rules go, pretty simple. Two superstars start in the ring. Four pods are filled, each with one woman. As far as the male match, you had three men start the match since it was an extra man, four men individually and in each pod. Every 5 minutes, a pod door opens, and that process will continue until all pods are empty. You get pinned or you submit, you are eliminated from the match, and that will keep going until there's one man or woman left standing. Bayley and Sonya Deville start the match off. Everyone else is in the pod. First five minutes of just them two going out in the ring, basically nothing, just feeling each other out, blah, 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 blah. First pod opens up. People could pretty much feel that it was going to be Mandy Rose, you know, just to have that two-on-one for a little bit and, you know, just to give Bayley a little bit more of a baby face feel to the crowd, especially for what gets set up later on. Bayley holds her own for about a minute or two, and then it becomes a two-on-one quickly. Second out of the pod is Sasha Banks. And the announcers really went out of their way to talk about how the, you know, both sides are even matched now. And Sasha Banks is out to help her friend and blah, 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 blah. And so far up until this point, the MVP in the Elimination Chamber match was the cameraman and the production. Because once again, you could see Sasha Banks with the breaking wind offense. And look, I praise Sasha Banks all the time. You know, people that are really, really big fans of Sasha Banks, you're very selective as far as what you hear coming out of my mouth, all right? She does deserve some criticism at times. And this breaking wind offense that she does, you have to have the cameraman shaking the ring, doing different camera shots to the point where you're dizzy. And that's what happened tonight. She's doing these elbows, she's doing these kicks, and you could see that she hasn't improved at all with that stuff from Lita and everything else. You know, so once again, the cameras are going wild with all these alternate camera shots. Anyway, it ends up that Sasha Banks hits the bank statement onto Mandy Rose. She is the first eliminated. We then have Mickey James, third out of the pod match. You know, the pods and the chamber was not used that much at all the entire night. There was a couple of moments where somebody would climb to the top of their pod, which would put them about 10 feet above the ring. Nothing scary, but still, you know, a nice visual. And there was a really cool visual I'll explain in, coming up in a moment. But Mickey James at one point climbs to the top of the pod, jumps onto Sonya Deville, kind of like a little splash. Sonya was standing up. 1, 2, 3. Sonya Deville is eliminated. Almost immediately after that, Bayley pins Mickey James for a 1, 2, 3. So now we have Sasha Banks and Bayley in the ring by themselves, and they're waiting for Alexa Bliss to come out of the pod. And they're milking it and milking it. It's like a minute, 90 seconds. They're on their knees. They're not hinting any offense, any nothing. They wait until Alexa Bliss comes out of the pod. Alexa tries to avoid them. First, she closes the pod door. She then tries to climb the cage. I don't know where she thought she was going, but yeah, Bayley climbed up the cage on one side, yet Sasha on the other side. So basically, Alexa Bliss couldn't go anywhere. So Alexa Bliss simulates that she's climbing back down the cage, the other two girls as well, and Alexa Bliss tries to climb up again. So ultimately, we have Sasha Banks and Bayley. They start, you know, going at it with Alexa Bliss. Then out of nowhere, Sasha Banks kicks Bayley to a huge pop from the crowd. Lots of yes chants. You know, was it a heel turn? You know, people need to remember, you know, they've fought in matches on Monday Night Raw over the last 12 months since WrestleMania of last year. They've had some competitive, you know, moves against each other. The Royal Rumble, you know, there was a little bit. So was that a full-blown heel turn? No, she was just every woman for herself in the match. But still, you know, we saw Sasha, you know, kick Bayley. Crowd was into it. We now have all three women basically defending themselves. You got Bayley hitting moves on Sasha, Sasha on Bayley, both of them on Alexa, blah, blah, blah. Every woman for themselves. So then we have Bayley hitting the Bayley to Bayley onto Sasha Banks. But before she could get the pin, and I know some people noticed tonight that some of the matches, the Elimination Chamber matches, felt like it mirrored each other. You know, I didn't have that feel, but I understand why you're saying that. But Bayley hits the Bayley to Bayley onto Sasha. But before she can actually pin Sasha, Alexa Bliss rolls up Bayley for a three count. So now it's down to Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks. One point, Alexa Bliss climbs to the top of the pod, does a splash onto Sasha Banks, but somehow Sasha Banks turns it into the bank statement. Alexa Bliss does break out of it, but then Alexa Bliss, from the top rope, plants Sasha Banks face first onto the mat, almost like a, you know, front DDT for the 1-2-3. After the match is over, the camera shot is on Sasha Banks, who looks like she's crying a little bit. Alexa Bliss, camera's on her, looks like she's crying a little bit. She starts wailing in the ring with this speech. Oh, you know, this goes out to all the little girls out there. Follow your dreams. Dreams could come true. She's crying. She's teary-eyed. You could tell that she's really caught in the moment emotionally. Crowd starts chanting, "You deserve it." She acknowledges the crowd. She thanks the crowd. But in heel fashion, which is what Alexa Bliss is, you know, she turns around and reminds the crowd that none of you will ever accomplish your dreams. And a lot of it was crocodile tears. I thought it was well done. It was pretty good. So your winner and still women's champ, Alexa Bliss. We then see a backstage camera shot of Kurt Angle walking into Ronda Rousey's dressing room. Next match was The Bar over Titus and Apollo. You know, Apollo had some decent moves during the match. The crowd really was not into it all that much. It wasn't like they were exhausted from the Women's Elimination Chamber match. It's just that Titus Worldwide isn't as over as people think. And some people really got offended of what I've said the last 2 weeks about Titus Worldwide taking on The Bar. You know, they give you that thought in the back of your mind, like, hey, they're finally going to give these guys a push and this, and that. And then you realize, no, it's pretty much not the case. And how many times have you heard us talk about that on our show with different people? And tonight's match really was just nothing but filler to, you know, to basically lead us to other matches that people were looking forward to see. We then had Asuka take on Nia Jax. It was your typical, you know, big person, you know, big in size versus small person. You know, I'm a big fan of Nia Jax, and I hope that Nia Jax takes on Alexa Bliss at WrestleMania. I saw so many people online today, you know, insisting like, oh, so now Asuka's going to take on Alexa Bliss at WrestleMania. No, that's not exactly the case, because remember, Asuka gets to choose who she wants to face at WrestleMania. So WWE, I feel their money is to have Asuka take on Charlotte. Of course, what does that do to the women's roster on Raw by having Asuka showing up on SmackDown? You know, SmackDown needs to help right now. I mean, you saw the crowd attendance from SmackDown this past week. They have Fastlane coming up. Sure, Asuka's not going to fight at Fastlane, but I still think that money would be go with Asuka versus Charlotte. Have Nia Jax be rewarded. She's on momentum right now. She's over with a lot of the crowd. She really has been busted her ass. She has very much improved over the last year or so. I think Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss. And remember what I said about a month ago. Don't be surprised if there's 3 to 4 women's matches on WrestleMania. You could very well have Asuka versus Charlotte. You could have Sasha Banks versus Bayley. You could have Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss. And they will obviously do another match with the women from both brands maybe fighting each other. So that's 4 matches right there, and it could very possibly go to 5. You never know. Carmella, where does she stand of all of this? You know, she's still got that briefcase. Something has to happen there. So, you know, basically the match tonight with Asuka and Nia Jax was good. It was not bad at all. They fought in NXT before. Anybody who follows NXT knows that they've had some decent back and forth. I personally think that Nia Jax, if she could perfect it, you know, without injuring someone, she should consider using the bonsai drop as her finisher. Because at one point tonight, she tried to hit the bonsai drop onto Asuka, who moved out of the way. I think that would be such a believable impact move for someone her size. I love the idea of her doing the bonsai drop as a finisher. But basically, the match pretty much ended. Asuka had put a submission move, the armbar, onto Nia Jax. You know, just talking about, you know, big versus small, Nia kept showing her strength by picking up Asuka from submission moves and throwing her into the corner. There was one little part where it was kind of a ref screw up where, you know, Nia Jax didn't pick up Asuka right away and Asuka's shoulders were pinned on the mat and the referee did not count at all. But match ended with Nia Jax in the middle of the ring with Asuka saying that she's going to go to WrestleMania. She tries to hit a powerbomb or a splash onto Asuka, but reverses it into a roll-up pin. After the match was over, Nia Jax attacks Asuka and does one of my 2 favorite spots of the night. She does a very impressive splash onto Asuka through the barricade. Crowd was chanting, holy shit, looked like a great visual. Nia Jax really, I thought, did very well tonight. And it took the focus off the fact that, you know, Asuka's winning streak continues. We then have a backstage segment. Roman Reigns cuts a promo basically saying that Paul Heyman shows up for work 10 days a year, but he's here every single week and blah, 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 blah. Who the fuck cares? Me? And this is just my opinion. I know there's Roman Reigns fans out there. And look, I have defended Roman Reigns because he does try. Go on YouTube. There's a lot of clips of me defending him. I'm just not a fan of his work. I'm just not a fan I'm not interested in seeing his stuff. It's just my opinion. I'm not going to take away the fact that, you know, that there are fans out there and he does try. But the last 3 or 4 years of what I've endured with Roman Reigns, so many different things, I'm not feeling it. Just not feeling it. Next, we have Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt. You know, this is 2 guys that I've been saying for so long need to team up. You know, whether you want to call them the Woken Warriors, or I know it sounds cheesy. In fact, Survivor Series, you know, I think Matt Hardy should have a Survivor Series team with all the whack jobs in WWE, almost like the oddities, and they should call themselves the Woken Warriors. I know some people are like, it's cheesy, but still, I think Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt as a tag team would be entertaining. I think the crowd would love it. Basic back and forth match tonight. They actually did well. It was a fun match. Nothing that will be memorable. You know, one point a beach ball was being tossed around, so you could hear the crowd popping at the beach ball and booing when security took it away. Another point during the match, the fans started chanting Rusev Day, but match ended with Matt Hardy hitting the Twist of Fate. We then get to the contract signing. Kurt Angle's music hits. He enters the ring. Then comes Stephanie and Triple H. Very loud Triple H chants. Then Ronda Rousey hits the ring as well. There's somebody sitting camera side right smack in the middle with a sign that said Lousy Rousey. I don't know if that sign was taken away, but I'm sure WWE was not happy with that. Ronda Rousey, very emotional, not good on the mic at all. Crowd started giving her some pretty decent heat, but you had a bunch of people at ringside that were really trying to push a Ronda Rousey chant. If you actually watched them pan the crowd, mostly everybody that was chanting Ronda Rousey was like the first couple of rows, and the rest of the crowd really, you know, maybe a little, you know, splattering of cheers here and there, but for the most part, the crowd was a little, you know, not into her microphone work at all. Give kudos to Triple H, basically helping her get over. He grabs the mic, you know, lets everyone know that Ronda Rousey wanted no perks in her contract. She didn't want to be treated like any different than anyone else. That's where you got to be a little careful, because in this day and age where a lot of people remember everything that you say and people will remind you on social media and elsewhere, Ronda Rousey starts getting utilized like Brock Lesnar. You know, people are going to be like, oh, what happened to, you know, being treated, you know, no different than anyone else, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I kind of felt bad for Ronda Rousey tonight on social media. Yes, she's been getting, you know, criticism for a little while online. But I noticed tonight how some people within WWE and other wrestlers were kind of taken back and a little bit annoyed at the amount of negativity that fans were showing towards Ronda Rousey online tonight, way before even Elimination Chamber started. And I wrote this tonight, and I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now. You know, not for nothing. When you got the women on the roster playing online that, you know, that she's getting preferential treatment and we've been busting our ass and she shows up at the Royal Rumble and points to the fucking sign and blah, blah. What do you expect fans to, how do you expect fans to react? You got Nikki Bella saying disparaging remarks a little bit about, you know, Ronda Rousey online. Nothing really blatant. But still, the fucking Bella army is not going to feel a little bit of dissension towards Ronda Rousey. So you reap what you sow. You know, you want to be supportive. And like I said, she's been working out and training at the Performance Center for quite some time now. So it's not like she's been doing UFC and doing movies and staying home and hanging out on the farm and doing interviews and movies. No, she's been training. And the women have interacted with her over these past bunch of months. They knew what was happening. They knew she was coming in. They knew she was going to work WrestleMania. So anyway, we had the interaction that we pretty much expected. Stephanie McMahon, Triple H in the ring. But it was a little curveball thrown with it. And you kind of get the feel now that it might be Kurt Angle as the one to team up with Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie at WrestleMania. Some weird moment happened where you had Triple H singing the praise for Ronda Rousey. You had Stephanie singing the praise to Ronda Rousey. And Stephanie basically hands the contract to Ronda Rousey. And if you watch it again, you'll see what I'm talking about. And Ronda Rousey's about to sign the contract, and she starts looking at Kurt Angle. And she's looking at him for about 10 seconds. And it was just a weird, awkward moment. And then Ronda Rousey grabs the microphone and says, Kurt, you wanted to say something? And you could tell that either Kurt Angle had a brain fart or Ronda obviously was expecting Kurt Angle to say something, and she didn't know what to do. She looked like a deer in headlights. So then Kurt Angle grabs the mic and he says, no, I really didn't want to say anything. But then he goes on to talk anyway. And basically how this contract signing went down was that Kurt Angle sort of revealed that Triple H and Stephanie were, you know, saying a bad mouth towards Ronda, you know, behind the scenes. They kind of wanted to get revenge or, you know, for what happened at WrestleMania 31. And Kurt Angle gets on the mic and all of a sudden tonight he's very brazen, almost like, you know, talking like a moron, like, hey, Stephanie, didn't you say that, you know, that Ronda Rousey's a has-been and this and that? It was just like, he looked like brain-dead Kurt Angle. Like, why would you just open your mouth and blurt something out like that? You know, it was just, it was a little bit awkward. You know, it was funny what Triple H said that Kurt Angle was hospitalized this week with the flu and he's having a relapse and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, the bottom line was the ending of the contract signing, which did work. You basically had Ronda Rousey looking pissed off at Stephanie and Triple H for what Kurt Angle revealed on the microphone. And, you know, Ronda Rousey gets in Stephanie's face. Stephanie backs off a little bit. Triple H gets in the middle of the two. Triple H basically breaks them apart. No physicality yet. Then Ronda Rousey gets into Triple H's face a little bit. Then out of nowhere, she puts Triple H through a table. Basically like a little, you know, side slam. Puts him through the table. Stephanie gets back in the ring. She slaps Ronda Rousey pretty hard. They're having a stare down. Stephanie obviously starts getting a little bit nervous and scared. She backs off, and then Ronda Rousey signs the contract, drops it onto Triple H, leaves the ring. Stephanie then goes back into the ring to check on her husband. The ending of the contract signing was fine. It did what it needed to do. I know a lot of people had all these different ideas that other women were going to interact with Ronda Rousey, or maybe even Asuka would show up, or other. It basically went down, I have been saying for a while. It was going to be Stephanie and Ronda Rousey. Stephanie has the knack, has the tendency that even if Ronda Rousey is not getting over with the crowd, they hate Stephanie as character even more. And you take the heat off of Ronda Rousey, you put it on Stephanie, and it's easy, easy work. And that's what they did tonight. And in the end, it was a success. There was one point I'm sure people took notice of where Triple H said that by signing his contract, you agree to perform at WrestleMania. And he also said that you are not having a title match at WrestleMania. And that was done to get all of the rumors and the focus off the idea that Ronda Rousey may face someone for a championship at WrestleMania. Of course, things could change, but I don't expect it to change. The one thing I'm sure the WWE was not happy about was that after Stephanie slapped Ronda Rousey, and Ronda Rousey looked really pissed in the ring, loud, loud chants of "you fucked up, you fucked up." So I'm sure WWE is not going to be thrilled of having to splice over that, but expect a little bit of editing there. So now it was funny because on social media, you had Drake Maverick, you know, Rockstar Spud. He was, you know, on Twitter and saying, "Hey, wait a minute. So superstars could actually, you know, assault management?" You know, because he's playing, you know, management for 205 Live, which I thought was pretty funny. So finally, we get to the main event. And honestly, I could get into moment by moment by moment as far as how everything went down, but there really wasn't a lot momentous coming out of this match. I will give you some basic highlights in the pods to start it off with Cena, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Elias. So that had Miz, Rollins, and Finn Balor started off. John Cena was out of the pod first. You know, there was a lot of back and forth, Balor and Miz, Rollins and Cena. They went through the motions until the second pod opened up, which was Roman Reigns. It was an interesting point where Roman Reigns, as soon as he exited the pod, he had a stare down with Seth Rollins in the middle of the ring for about 15 seconds. Crowd seemed dead. I don't think WWE expected the crowd to not react to it pretty much at all. But basically what the gist of this match was, Braun Strowman ultimately hitting the power slam on everybody, you know, up until the end. Braun Strowman power slammed Miz, got the 1-2-3. Miz was eliminated. Elias enters the match now, closes the chamber, doesn't enter the match for about 3 or 4 minutes. You had all four guys basically trying to beat down Braun Strowman. You know, each wrestler hit their own move. The land shield bomb was landed onto Strowman. All four guys go to pin Braun Strowman at the same time, but he kicks out. Cena hits the AA for the two count. Spear right by Roman for a two count. Rollins and Balor hit their finishers onto Strowman, but he's outside the ring, so they can't go for a pin. My favorite visual of the entire night, next to what Nia Jax did with Asuka and the barricade. There was one point where the Miz tried to get out of you know, harm's way with Braun Strowman. So he climbs the top to the top of the pod. It's about 10 feet up. And, you know, when you climb up to the top of the pod, behind it is plexiglass. So Braun Strowman climbs to the top of the pot as well, and you have Braun Strowman and The Miz both standing on top of the same pod. And you had Braun Strowman then proceed to smash Miz's head into the plexiglass. And of course, Miz is absorbing all of the momentum of the blow by putting his hand up, and his hand is hitting the plexiglass. But it was such a great visual, because Miz's head was hitting the plexiglass, albeit very lightly. And because plexiglass is very prone to fingerprints and dust and everything else, every time you touch it, you can see, you know, the markings. So when Braun Strowman was slamming Miz's head into the plexiglass, yeah, he had his hand up. But because his forehead was hitting the plexiglass also, you saw the mark every time Miz's head hit the plexiglass. It was a wonderful visual during the match. It was wonderful. My second favorite moment of the entire night. But unfortunately, what a lot of people started to feel towards the end, you had Braun Strowman pretty much making history, you know, setting records, eliminated five guys during a match, all with power slams, ultimately to meet his demise by Roman Reigns. Cena was eliminated after Elias. For some reason, Elias tries to pick up Braun Strowman with just his fucking neck. Go watch the spot again. You would have thought that Elias would have used his hands as well, and unless maybe my eyes were a little dirty at the time, or maybe they were blurry, it looked like Elias was trying to pick up Braun Strowman just with his neck. But anyway, Braun just, I don't know, hits a power slam onto Elias for a 1-2-3. We had the other guys try to hit their finishers again, all onto Strowman. John Cena standing on the top rope. Braun Strowman catches him, puts him in a power slam for a 1-2-3. Cena is eliminated. So now we have Balor, Rollins, Reigns, and Strowman as the final four. Finn Balor goes after Strowman for a good 2 minutes, hits the coup de grace on the back of Strowman's neck for a 2 count. Rollins and Balor go at it. Balor then goes at it with Roman Reigns, hits the coup de grace onto Roman Reigns, but before he could go pin him, Braun Strowman hits a power slam onto Finn Balor for a 1-2-3. So basically, Strowman saved Roman Reigns. So now we got Rollins, Reigns, and Strowman. Rollins and Reigns double team Braun Strowman. Seth Rollins then goes after Roman Reigns. Remember, every person for themselves. Did he turn heel? No. Rollins hits the buckle bomb, but Roman Reigns pretty much no-sells it, hits a Superman punch of his own onto Rollins. Both men go down. Strowman gets back up. Rollins climbs the top of the pod, hits a frog splash onto Strowman for another 2 count. Rollins then hits 2 super kicks onto Braun Strowman, goes for the curb stomp, but Braun Strowman reverses it, hits a power slam onto Seth Rollins for the 1-2-3. So now we're down to Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, and we're reminded that Strowman has eliminated everyone tonight up until this point, and the match pretty much ends where Braun Strowman goes to spear Seth Rollins in the corner. Rollins moves out of the way. Braun Strowman sort of like rams into the pod. You know, it just was not anything major. Roman Reigns hit the Superman punch once. He hits it again. At this point, the crowd senses what's basically going to happen. Still hoping that maybe we get a little swerve, but Roman Reigns is starting to try to hit all his finishers to get the big man down. Reigns goes for the spear, then hits the Superman punch 2 more times, added a spear for a final touch, gets the 1-2-3. Roman Reigns is your winner. He goes on to WrestleMania to face Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. As I said at the beginning, way too predictable. Every match was too predictable. And, you know, to me, that kind of ruined a little bit of the suspension of disbelief. I mean, you know, I like to be surprised. I don't like, you know, having this feeling for a couple of weeks leading into this, because like we said on Monday of last week, when you kind of predict the outcome of every match, you're only waiting for crazy spots to happen or praying for a swerve. And we really did not get it tonight. So on a scale of 1 to 10, like I said, I give this pay-per-view a 6. 6.5. It wasn't bad. Everybody worked hard. It's just way too predictable for my standards. So I don't know how you felt about it. You know, just please, when you hear my reviews, listen to it in an open mind. You know, I'm sorry if I criticize someone that you like. I just tell it like it is, in my opinion. You know, respect how I feel about these matches and things in wrestling, and I'll respect yours. I mean, I'm not going to just sit here and kiss ass and cater to this and cater to that simply because it's, you know, gets me an extra 100 likes on YouTube or something. No, it's just I tell you how I feel. And, you know, we'll see what happens leading into WrestleMania. But I think WWE has a lot of work cut out for them because fans are not thrilled about Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. It's not just the fact that they're facing each other again, but the way that they have utilized Brock Lesnar has been terrible, in my opinion. And I've played that soundbite many times on this show and on the Don Tony Kevin Castle show on Breakfast with Blasi of Kurt Angle in storyline saying his job is to give us the best matches possible on Raw and on pay-per-view. And in storyline, you don't put Brock Lesnar on Elimination Chamber. So not only are we getting Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania again, but everyone now is pretty much feeling that Roman Reigns is going to be Universal Champion. And this event doesn't take place for another, 45 days? So imagine going into WrestleMania, not feeling Roman Reigns at all, and then realizing that ultimately he's going to be the one to win the match at WrestleMania and be the Universal Champion. He ain't losing it the next night on Raw. So we have Roman Reigns back in the spotlight, back in the main event, in the title picture, and likely the champion until further notice. So, you know, of course, this is just one guy, and it's only one title, and there are a lot of other things that I like on Raw, and there's a lot of things that I like on SmackDown as well. So is this going to, you know, make me not want to watch? No, I'm going to continue watching. I saw people writing tonight, if Roman Reigns, if they could make him win, I'm not watching it. Come on. You don't fucking stop watching because of one person. You just use that person to change the channel. Go take a leak, get something to eat, take a shit, walk the dog, do something else, whack off. You know, just do something instead. I don't fucking pay much. I'm not going to lie to you. When Roman Reigns is in the main event, if his opponent is someone that I'm really, like, not too much into, I'll prepare for my show. I'll listen to it in the background, but I'll do other things. So he ends up being the spotlight fine. When he comes out, I do other stuff. So anyway, I'm out of here. I'm starting to ramble. Definitely leave your thoughts, what you thought about this pay-per-view. Follow me on Twitter at DonTonyD. The website, DonTony.com, Facebook.com/DTKC Show. And if you like what we do and you want to help us keep, you know, the lights on and keep us in business and help us with this exorbitant amount of bills that we generate, go give us a shout on Patreon. It is patreon.com/DonTony. You have over 100 episodes of Patreon-exclusive shows. For everybody that always wanted a Kevin Castle solo show, you got it. If you like Wrestling Soup and Breakfast with Blasi, you got a hybrid of those shows in the form of Breakfast Soup, which is hosted by yours truly and Mish. We have the contest up there. We got a lot of other things as well. So again, give it a shot. Patreon.com/DonTony. It is a very small, very tight-knit family over there, and it's a really, really cool place to be. Believe me when I tell you, if you sign up over there, usually you stick around for a while. So with that said, I am done. For everybody on Patreon, shout out to all of you. I will definitely let you know by Monday who is the winner of the pay-per-view predictions contest. Those that won the silver and gold giveaways from last week, as well as the T-shirt for Breakfast Soup, I will be getting in contact with everybody on Monday. So go look out for your messages there. And I'm out of here. Everyone, take care. Be well. I'll talk to you all soon. And just a reminder, in case you're not aware of it, Fastlane SmackDown brand pay-per-view takes place in 2 weeks. It is only 2 weeks away. So we'll be doing another recap 2 weeks from now. We'll do another pay-per-view predictions contest. And then after Fastlane, we are on the road to WrestleMania as far as pay-per-views go. So everyone take care. I'll talk to you all soon. Ciao.